Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I like what Koo has been doing with the weather report thing. I never realized how much I talk about the weather.
Yes, you do.
He obviously noticed that, and now it's a joke. Fucking weather report. Hey, it's fucking sunny.
You're officially an old man giving the weather report.
Weather reports and traffic reports. Which way did you go to get there? Did you take you take 78 or you take 80? Sometimes it takes 78, cross over 22, and I make a right on Hallmark Road, go straight up those there, go about 3-4 lights past there, then jump back on 80 because that avoids all the traffic at the intersection of 46 and 80.
Next time you say, hot enough out there for you? Yeah. Then we know you officially crossed over.
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of Decoding 40. I'm your host this week, Vincent Perez, and as usual, we're here to bring the noise, bring the funk. That really aged me right there. Bring the noise and bring the funk. And I'm joined by my two esteemed colleagues, the finest gentlemen in podcasting.
This is your boy, L.O. No AKA tonight. However, I would like to ask you a question. I heard you were looking for the Candyman, bitch.
What?
To be explained later.
This is Alaric.
I cannot wait to hear that story because I'm intrigued. Let's start the check-in right away. But before we get to the check-in, we're going to do a little housekeeping. And as usual, if you want to reach out to us, you can hit us up at decoding40@gmail.com. If you want to give us a call, it's 619-940-4040. We need to hear from you guys, right? You got to let us know how we're doing, what we can do to improve. Also, if you're looking to get some hoodies, T-shirts, cups, mugs, or what have you, go to decoding40pod.com where you can get all the merch. And if you want to reach out to us, send us a text. If you want to give us some money and you're feeling nice, you can go to $Decoding40 at Cash App. Please help and support a hungry and starving podcast. And also, if you're a small business out there and you got some merch that you want us to talk about on the show, hit us up. We'll work something out. You know, we don't work for free, but we will work for liquor and food. And as usual, we will go into the check-in. So who would like to start first this week, gentlemen?
First off, I got to give a shout out to the New York Knicks, who unfortunately...
Yeah, man.
Came to an end on Sunday night against the Indiana Pacers in Game 7 at the Garden. It was not a great game as far as the Knicks were concerned. However, I got to give a shout out to this team. I have not been more excited by a New York Knicks basketball team, I don't think, since the 90s. Considering what they had to endure with the number of injuries, just the short rotation that they were using, it was inevitable that they were going to begin to break down. And Game 7, that was it. I think they gave all they had. And that's, I think, the spirit of New York. And I was absolutely upset with Michael Harriet today, but it made me laugh and it made me actually kind of deal with the fact that we are no longer in the playoffs. He said that New York Knicks are basically Dallas Cowboy fans who wear Tims. So,
fuck that guy. No. Fuck that guy.
It's actually worse than that because the Cowboys have won a couple of championships since the 90s. We haven't won one in 51 years.
In all fairness, the Pacers played a game that hasn't been seen over 25 years, right? They shot over 72% in the first half and then pretty much kept up that consistency in the third and fourth quarter. The Knicks
I felt like that spoke to our defense, though. Or lack thereof.
But if you look at the game, it was a lot of three-pointers, man. I mean, these guys were shooting from down open on their ass.
It's like no one was at Halliburton's face. No one was in Turner's face. So I think like the tenacity that you saw in the game or the series, I don't know if you watched it, with Philly, you didn't see that in the Indiana game. Like I felt like that Philly series took a lot out of them.
They ran out of gas.
But
gas. And then your boy gets hurt. Your Brunson fractured his hand.
Brunson Burner, I was like, matter of fact, I stopped watching in the third quarter. I started cooking. my morning period, my grief period started probably about a third
second into the quarter. Well, end of the second quarter into the third quarter, I was like, yeah, I was on my phone.
It was
bad.
They've traditionally not played well in the first and maybe into the second quarter, and they kind of turned it on in the second half. Mm-hmm. So that's what I was kind of hoping for. I was also hoping that Pacers would get a little tight, thinking that they were eventually, you know, on the brink of winning, and that might cause them to make some bad decisions.
Nah, son.
Turns out we were making the bad decisions. A lot of turnovers, unnecessary, and it just was like, all right, you know what? It is what it is.
I think physically they just could not do it anymore. Like, I was watching Hart, the way he couldn't even jump. If you remember, like, in the previous games, he's grabbing everything that's coming off the rim.
Exactly.
He wasn't even able to jump in the same way that he was jumping. Like, they had nothing left. They put it all out there. That's what I loved about them.
And that's why you got to respect it. And that's why I can proudly say I'm still a New York Knickerbockers fan, and I love this team, and I love what they brought to the city, and I love what they brought to the season. I have not watched a Knicks season as much as I have this season, honestly, since maybe the Ewing days. Like, I mean, this was just a phenomenal team. I think we just need a few more pieces, stay healthy, and I think the Knicks, I think that now they're a contender. The East has to recognize New York as a potential threat and a top seed performing club.
Well, I think that, and I said this, I think, on the last show, it just opens the door to allow them to get those players to want to come again. Because there was a time where Cats was like, I don't want to go to New York. Like, why would I want to go there?
Right.
You know, and so it's they're back to being New York's number one team, a basketball team, because for a while there, the Brooklyn Nets was making a lot of noise, you know, years ago. But now I think it just opens the door for the Knicks to maybe it'll be easier for them to get that one player, that one piece they might need or two pieces they might need, because people are going to be like, yo, these guys, they're almost there. And what person doesn't want to come and be the person that helps win a champion in New York? You'll be a god after that.
Yeah.
you will be a god after that. So,
and I think the question that they'll eventually have to answer, and soon, not even eventually, is what happens with Julius Randle? Because they obviously played well. There was a lot of ball distribution with him out. When he comes back in, he traditionally is an ISO player that looks to shoot versus distribution of the ball. So we'll see. Hopefully they
find out. This is a bandwagon jumper I am. I don't even know who that is. I have no idea who that is. He didn't play in Philly. I don't know who he is.
He hasn't played for half a season, but he's always sitting on the bench.
Gotcha.
He's at every game.
I have no idea who that was.
But shout out to the New York Knicks, man. Thank you for a very exciting season. I would have loved to see you at least make it into the Eastern Conference Finals, but I think, like Alaric said, you guys put it all on the floor, and that is incredibly commendable. So, going back to my check-in, I want to first acknowledge everyone who told me about this Candyman movie. And I want to let you all know that I absolutely, positively will never take another recommendation from you. This was the first time I actually, over the weekend, it was the first time I actually watched Candyman. And I had seen snippets and clips here and there, but I've never watched it from beginning to end. First of all, parts of it was just straight comedy, unintentionally. Particularly the line when he says, I heard you were looking for Candyman, bitch. which was like, come on. What are you doing? Have you guys seen it?
I've never seen it.
I've never seen Candyman. I've never.
Oh, I thought I was by myself with this.
No, I'm not a horror flick person. I don't.
It's not a horror flick.
Isn't the Candyman is the one when they say Candyman three times in the mirror?
That's what I'm expecting this to be a horror film. It's not a horror film.
No, he lives next door. I heard you calling me.
But, but it wasn't a horror flick. It was a satire. It was a comedy. I don't want to give too much away, but there's a white woman who basically gentrifies his whole shtick. It takes his over. So I was like, what am I watching here? So if you want to laugh, watch Candyman. It's a comedy. It's not a horror film.
Jesus.
I thought it was a horror. Are you sure? I could have sworn it was a horror film.
I think it was maybe intended to be a horror film because I was like, oh, okay, they're going to say his name three or five times in the mirror. Something crazy is going to happen. Nothing ever happens. It's like maybe a thriller. Okay. I guess it's, but yeah, it
wasn't horror. It was horrible.
It was horrible. Yeah. There are some hilarious parts in there that I honestly, my stomach was hurting from laughing. Like when I was at that point of laughter, I was like, this is no longer a horror film. This is a comedy.
Some bullshit.
This is a black exploitation film. I just remembered, I watched The Fall Guy with Ryan Gosling over the weekend. Have you guys seen this advertised?
No. No. I think I have.
Is that the remake from the 80s show or the 90s show?
It is.
It's a movie?
It is a movie.
Oh, boy.
That was one of my favorite shows.
It was absolutely one of my favorite shows. And I was expecting
What was his name?
Lee Majors.
Lee Majors, right.
I was expecting to hate this movie. I actually like this movie. Like, I'm watching it like, all right, this is stupid. I'm going to hate this now. And I'm still watching it. I'm like, yo, this is enjoyable. The plot is horrible. However, the action is amazing. They do a great job of simulating the television show, but putting it in a movie format. Mm-hmm. So it's like cheesy, but they're still acting like everything is real. Mm-hmm. And
did you know how the
plot? He had a different truck. But you know how the plot is like usually wrapped up in 45, 50 minutes. It's sort of that same kind of, you know, plot line. But it's almost like they know that they're doing this to you and it's cheeky. And it worked for me. It really worked for me. So I would recommend that. I got to tell you what happened on the bus the other day. You know, one of my pet peeves is when people listen to something but don't have their earphones in.
Yeah, I hate that too.
So I hear this movie or television show loud on the bus. And I'm like, why can't you just put your headphones in? So I'm looking around to see who it is. And it's an old black woman. The problem is she actually has headphones in her ear, but she doesn't have
Bluetooth connected.
No,
it's not plugged in.
The plug.
Oh,
fully plugged into her device.
Oh man. Did you help her out?
No, because I was a little too far away, but I think it was so loud and she might be hard of hearing. She may have thought she was listening to whatever she was watching through her headphones.
Why these headphones ain't working too well?
No, I think she thought they were working because she didn't even flinch. She just was like, phone.
They must have recorded this show kind of low. Let me turn it all the way up.
What was she watching?
I couldn't tell, but it was either a movie, but it seemed like it had commercials. So I couldn't tell what she was watching. So there was that. And then actually on the same bus, this black dude gets on and there's a white kid, probably junior high school age, sitting to his left, and his phone rings and he goes, "Yo, God, what's the daily mathematics?" And then, you know, they go into the whole Negroidian back and forth and it's knowledge is God and all of that stuff. I forgot what they say. But the kid was so, first of all, the dude was so loud. Everybody was like, yo, are you serious right now? Like, you have to know the volume is out of control.
Yeah.
But watching the kid's reaction was so funny to me because he was startled and he didn't
know. I don't know. 5 plus 5? 7 plus 6? I don't know the mathematics. 10 plus 7? 25 plus 30? I don't know.
So when he's going to get off the bus, he looks back at the guy like just to make sure that he's not getting off the same stop as him, I guess. But that tickled me as well. I've got a few stories that I've got in the vault that I want to share with you guys, and it has to be on the show. But just stay tuned for those.
Ooh. Not quite yet.
Teasers.
Not quite yet. They're baking.
Teasers. It's like a fucking Netflix. You're just waiting for it to happen.
Yes.
Comes out June 1st.
Ironically, that you say that, but it's something like that. But yeah, this is Leon. That's my check-in. And I'm done speaking.
Merch drop!
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? This is Ben from Decoding 40 letting you know about Decoding40Pod.com. That's right, Decoding40Pod.com. That's our new site that's got all our merch on it. Decoding40Pod.com.
Decoding40Pod.com.
Yo, what's good with you, Rick, man? What's going on in your part of the world?
Man, I'm checking in from West Virginia again this week. Staying in this the hotel, the one that I don't really like so much, but the experience has not been so bad this time. But we're convinced that whoever designed this hotel had no interest in solving problems that you have at hotels. They just wanted to create new problems. Like, there's no desk in here. Why is there no desk? There's no chair in here.
Wait, what brand hotel? No chair?
It's a boutique hotel. It's called the. Let me not say the name of the hotel because we're gonna have to come back here. Oh. But it's a boutique hotel.
Is it a chain or
no? Oh, it's not a chain.
Okay,
you got no desk, but you can wave your hand in front of a thing on the wall, and the bathroom door opens. But I don't have a desk. You got a fancy Japanese toilet with a bidet, and it'll dry your butt and massage it and spritz it. But to get up here in the elevator, it goes up half a floor. So it's not like I can just like roll my stuff right out, because I'm on the first floor technically, but I got to take the elevator up halfway. Mm. It's like all these little stupid things. Like, it's great a bizarre hotel, world hotel at the same time. There's no fridge. There's no microwave. There's no coffee maker. There's no kettle.
Hold up.
But
like they have this in the lobby, though?
Hold up. It sounds like they opened up and was like, yeah, we're getting all that shit, but let's open up anyway. Next time you come, there'll be a desk.
There's no room for a desk?
If you wait, design it that way.
What are you sitting at?
I'm sitting on the bed right now. I'm sitting on the bed right now, and I took one of the end tables.
What is your mic? Your mic is on the end table right now?
Yeah, I took one of the end tables. Oh, one of the what do you call the table next to the bed? Anyway,
side table.
Side table. I took one of the side tables and I moved it to in front of the bed so I can like have a desk, because there's no other place.
Yo, if you had never said that, I would have thought you were sitting at a desk.
No.
And it just occurred to me, because I'm like, you look like you're sitting at a desk.
Complete makeshift desk, and it's bizarre. There's no closets, right? So they basically have like these hang rods where you can hang your clothes.
Like it's in the storage unit. The storage unit hotel.
Dude, if I show you this hotel, everything is fancy except the stuff that you need.
Is this a Cube Smart?
Does it have a mic? Hold up. Does it have an iron board and an iron?
No.
What?
This is what I'm saying. Every issue you've ever had at a hotel, like you would think like these boutique hotels try to solve them, right? And they want to make it more convenient for you. This place says, no, I'm going to make it more difficult for you. I'm going to create new problems.
Wait. But do they have a lobby with coffee machines?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
You can download the app and turn the lights on and off, open the curtains on the app on your phone, or use the Alexa at the side of the bed. But I don't have an iron. I don't have an ironing board.
Ask Alexa for an ironing board. See what happens.
I'm sorry, we don't have it here.
That's truly, what you should just
it's
do.
Truly
just
bizarre place.
Keep asking Alexa.
Alexa, yes. How can I iron my clothes?
You don't.
Alexa, yes. How do I iron my clothes?
Put it under the bed like old school.
Yeah, so, but everything else about this place is good. It's like, there's good things and there's bad things. Like, I don't want my bathroom door to open up automatically. Mm. I don't need a toilet that opens when I walk up to it. I can open the toilet. I would trade that for an ironing board or a desk.
Or a desk.
Mm-hmm. Or a kettle. Can I have coffee in my room? Anyway, I'm complaining. These are definitely first world problems.
Yes, no doubt.
What else is going on? I don't know if you guys noticed, but I've gone back to my mustache-less look.
I have noticed.
And that is because I went to visit a barber on Friday. And the guy that I normally was going to, he wasn't available, but he said the guy sitting next to him was available.
Was this guy in the first chair?
Was he in the first chair?
Where was he sitting?
Oh, so like, okay. So the guy in the first chair is one of the co-owners of the barbershop.
Oh,
then okay. You have all these other chairs. And then my guy is the last guy.
Oh, that's even worse.
Mm-hmm.
And, but he put me with the guy in the guy just before his chair.
Right. Oh, wow. Like the first chair is usually for the new guy.
No.
The last chair is for the journeyman who just can't get it right.
No, no, no. The last chair in the place is my guy.
Okay.
Oh.
But he had appointments booked up. So he put me with a guy just before him. The second to last chair.
He's probably the one he's teaching.
Oh, yeah. He's ready to switch with him.
So he starts to, shaves the head, does a good job, hot towel, everything. And then he starts trying to shape up the beard and the mustache. And I look up and I look like a fucking 1920s Puerto Rican villain or Cuban villain in some that's my mustache.
Yeah, so what we're going to do here, you see? We're going to
come like,
you're out of your fucking mind.
Oh,
nigga, looking like a Johnny Dangerously Dangerous villain. You're out of your fucking mind.
I'm like, my man, take that shit off. Take all of that shit off.
Well, did you give him direction before he did it?
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to mention that he did not speak great English. Oh. He's a Dominican guy. He doesn't speak very good English.
Nigga had you looking Dominican.
Yeah. Say less.
Yeah. But
I know exactly what he did.
Yeah. And so it was just like, I just take that shit off. I'm just going to go back to the normal no mustache look. And then we'll try it again in a couple months. We'll try to go back to
the mustache. Wait, did you turn to your regular barber, like with disdain in your face, and just say, you see what you did to me?
It wasn't his fault. Cause I didn't have an appointment. I was just walking in. Cause usually if I go in early in the morning, he doesn't have too many appointments and I can sneak in. But this day he was backed up. So not his fault. He tried. As a matter of fact, the beard, like the length of it, he instructed him which guard to put on.
Oh.
The guy said, do you want one or two? He said, no, one and a half. And then,
oh, wow.
So he was supervising, but he was doing a cut. So he didn't see. But you know, when you
apprentice cut your face.
I have a bald head and a mustache and a beard. How badly can you go wrong with that? Apparently, just a thin mustache.
Clearly. Wow.
He's like, don't worry about it. You look like a villain. You're a bad guy. Now you look like a bad guy. Nigga, Rick, I said, it's funny because Rick, when we were talking that day, Rick was like, yeah, this guy fucked up my mustache. I said, this nigga looking like a Mexican soap opera villain.
Here's when you know something's going terribly wrong. When the guy is trimming your mustache and he goes back and forth like 11 times on each side of your face, you know that shit is getting thinner and thinner every time. Oh, and then you look up.
Look like he trimmed
his
shit.
Is he going mustache. Like this?
Mm-mm.
Every time he goes.
You got to stop moving, puppy. I'm not moving. My face, I'm not moving. What are you talking about? You're moving. Look what you did.
This means it's free, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So yeah. And I'm trying to think, what else did I have? Oh, this is new news. So I don't know if you remember, a couple weekends ago, I was telling you about the older guy that was working at my dad's laundromat who was out sick and I had to take over for him. Well, he just quit. So the following day, the following day he came back in, and I did the payroll, whatever. So I didn't pay him what he normally gets because A, you were out 2 days. There's no sick days here. You're out 2 days and you're supposed to sweep like the sidewalk and the gutter every morning, right? And some days I would come there and he hadn't swept. And I can tell you haven't swept because like, whatever garbage is in the gutter has been there for like a couple days. It's not like somebody just threw it down.
Snapple bottle has been in the gutter for 3 days.
Right. So on day two, when I have to call you and say, how come you didn't sweep this? oh, it was windy yesterday, so I was waiting till the wind settled down. I'm like, sanitation does not care if it's windy. They're still writing tickets. But this is how this dude is. Since my dad has been sick and hasn't been there and hasn't been present, he tries to get away with this stuff. Because when my dad was around, he couldn't play that. Yeah. So he's collecting the money to do the job, but he's not doing it. Mm. So I paid him less. Like I didn't even take all that I could have, but I definitely wanted to send a message like, if you're not doing your job, I'm not paying you. And he's like, I'm going to step down. I'm like, man, you work in the laundromat. You're not stepping down from anything. You quit.
This nigga's in the Eric Adams administration. I want to step down as head sweeper.
I am the commissioner of the trash. I am hereby stepping down from my commission.
My commission as trash sweeper and coin distributor.
Yo, Rick came in there on some Reggie Hammond.
So it's been a big...
New sheriff of town. His name is Ira Campbell.
But it's been a big pain in the ass now because the woman that works in the morning, she has a second job, so she's got to leave by 12:30. So I had to fill in the time that he's not been there and while we're trying to find somebody else to do it. So we had called my dad works with this contractor who's Ecuadorian and he's got a lot of friends and people around that need employment. So I was like, yeah, send one of your friends. And she came down. This was the weirdest interview. It was just weird. I was like, I don't even know what you thought this was going to be. But anyway, so she comes with her daughter. And her daughter must have been like 19 or 20 years old, right? And this woman's in her 40s, probably. And
did she have snacks to sell?
She did not. But she didn't speak English very well.
Oh.
So the daughter was translating for her.
The daughter was translating. And the entire time, the woman's back was to me. And she's talking to her daughter. And her daughter is talking to me. I'm like, what? You want to work here? You can't even look at me? Like, what is... You don't...
I don't like black people.
Wait, so is the daughter going to come in every day with her?
That was an
daughter.
I was going to hire the daughter, but she doesn't get out of school. I think she goes to York College. She doesn't get out of school until 1:20 and we need somebody there by 12:30. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I said, you know, when your schedule changes, yeah, come back. But right now we can't do it. But I told her,
in front of her mother,
she couldn't understand me anyway. We good?
Yo.
No. I was just like, look, yo, I can't do it because you have to be able to communicate with the customers. Something is going to happen in here and they're going to need you to fix it or to talk them through it or to diffuse the situation. If you can't communicate with them, can't really work out. And I can't communicate with you, really. I could use my Google Translate, but that's about it. But the next day, randomly, some guy walks in and he says, I'm looking for work. Do you have anything going on? African gentleman. He said he was Nigerian. And I was like, you know what? You did just walk in off the street and I don't know who you are. Let me try you out. You come in every morning, sweep outside at 8 o'clock, and then, you know, we'll see how it goes. And then after that, it only takes you like 30 minutes, maybe an hour if it's really, really dirty, because he has to sweep both buildings. If it's really, really dirty, it may take you an hour, and then you can go and do whatever other job that you may have or look for other employment or whatever. So he did it for a week straight, was there on time. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe I can bring him inside and maybe he can do this. But he wasn't comfortable with the language yet and the currency. Because he literally just got here.
Yeah, he's about to set up a whole Nigerian scam in luxury.
What were you paying him in?
In rubles.
In quarters. No, I'm joking.
Oh, wait, when you said he wasn't comfortable with the currency. Oh,
right. Because he's got to hand out change. He's
got
to,
you know, got it.
And handle that for customers. So he wasn't comfortable with that part. So we're still on the, huh?
He goes, how much is the brown one? What about this little one here? You know, the big one is less than the little one? That doesn't make any sense. And the faces on there, what did they mean?
Oh, man.
All these white people on the faces of the money.
Yeah, so we're still on the lookout. Actually, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, we had to close after the morning woman leaves because I'm out of town, and that's just going to be how it is. But it's like, what am I going to do? You know, I can't not work.
Yeah, true that.
So I'm here. And Dad is doing much better. You know, his health has been stabilized. I shouldn't say he's much better because the condition is not going to improve, but they have him stabilized now, and he's able to cook for himself, and with the help of the home health aide, you know, he's doing all right. Definitely way better than he was 2 months ago. And that's my check-in. What's good, people? This is Alaric. If you like the show, then make sure you subscribe to Decoding 40 on IG, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, Tumblr, Reddit, Tumblr. Did I say Tumblr? Flugr. That's new. It's brand new. Just came out. Flug, Etsy, Pinterest, Friendster, Hamster, Ex-Hamster. Oh, wait. That's my private account. Don't follow that. Decoding
40. I really can't remember what really happened in the last week for me. It's been kind of a quiet week, just working. I did, however, Friday, I had to work a concert. We had like a hybrid week of work where I was in the classroom. Then we was working in another location, but I had to work this concert. It was, I can't think of the white person who it was, but it was a country singer. And originally we were like, oh, we're going to be there. We were supposed to schedule to work 2 to 10. And we were like, oh, we'll be out by like 8 o'clock in the evening. And I was like, that was, I think it was Friday. Cause I had plans. I brought clothes with me. I was going to go to the bar, watch the Knicks game.
Wait, how are you going to work 2 to 10 and be leaving at 8?
Don't ask me about my business.
Don't do the math.
Don't do the math, son. So no, we were going to get probably like an early quit. Right.
Oh,
but that's what I thought. No, that was not the case, because as soon as we got there, I was like, oh, yeah, well, it starts getting busy around 11. I was like, whoa, I thought we were supposed to be at 10 o'clock. What are you talking about? Wound up being there till damn near 1 in the morning, working this concert at MetLife Stadium. And it's funny because, you know, MetLife Stadium is one of those stadiums that has concerts. Of course, it's the home of the Giants and the Jets. But it's funny how when white folks have concerts and black folks have concerts, it's a totally different experience. The police are a lot more lax when white people come. I was watching people basically go to this concert with bags and bag, like actual coolers, bottles of liquor. They were drinking and everything like that. And I'm like, yo, if this was Summer Jam, first of all, they'd have cops at every place they could possibly have them, and they would be checking people and throwing liquor away. But apparently, New Jersey passed a law where you can have open containers of liquor now.
Really?
Yes. That I didn't know about. I heard about it and I was like, are you sure? And they were like, yeah, it's a law that they passed. So, you know, maybe because I've never been to Summer Jam, but I'm just assuming this because anytime we have a concert, security is extra, extra tight. But I did that. And while we're at work, one of my coworkers, he turned 41 as we're working, like midnight. Went to the next day. He's like, yo, today's officially my birthday. So after work, we went and got some drinks. We got some shots for him and we had some beers. So that was cool, man. You know, shout out to him, my man Manny, who celebrated his 41st birthday. We had a good time there. And then the rest of the weekend, it was kind of quiet. I didn't do much, man. Just, you know, patiently waiting for this next phase of my job, going into not a new position, but learning a new position. And I'm excited. I'm a little nervous because, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot of information to try to grasp and learn in a short period of time. But I'm confident I'll be OK. took my daughter to an appointment, doctor's appointment, and then afterward we went and got breakfast at IHOP the second time in like 2 weeks. And I got the pancakes and I got the eggs omelet. I got this omelet. Now, I made the mistake, like, you know, when you go to IHOP, you know you're going to get decent pancakes, right? You know the pancakes are going to be good. And you can't really fuck up an omelet, right? Because it's IHOP. That's what they specialize in, breakfast. So I made the mistake of getting the omelet. I got the eggs, cheese, and I got peppers and onions. And I said they had roasted tomatoes as like a topping. And I'm like, oh, this sounds interesting. They bring the fucking thing and it looks like they were like roasted tomatoes that was like in a jar. And they literally just poured them on top of the egg and they had a smell to them. Like they weren't cooked or nothing like that. And I was just like, this is they want, like, to me, they look like slugs on top of the eggs. It just totally threw me off. So I had to remove them because I wasn't going to let the eggs go to waste. They were a little dry, but, you know, IHOP, depending on the neighborhood you in, sometimes you get, you know, less than stellar IHOP performance, but, you know, it was okay. And as usual,
joining us now, the top New York meteorologist, Vincent Perez. Good morning, Vincent. How are things looking?
The weather is nice. We have some beautiful weather headed this week. No rain, because it seems like every other day it's been raining, cloudy, just nasty weather in Jersey. Hopefully spring has sprung and the hot weather is upon us. And that's pretty much my check-in this week.
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, a couple of weeks ago, we did a podcast and we talked about Sean Diddy Combs and all his legal troubles. Well, like I predicted.
Oh, my God.
Like I predicted.
What did you predict?
I predict that it was bound to happen.
What did you predict?
He's going to get arrested. But unfortunately, he's not going to get arrested. He just basically got embarrassed.
Wait, so what exactly was your prediction and how did
So far your prediction did not come.
Well, yeah, he's not arrested or he's not in jail as of yet, but he's heading there. He's heading there.
What?
Where there's smoke, there's fire. Right there, L. Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Okay.
So this week, in the last couple of days, a tape came out of him, and it's not allegedly because you could clearly see it's Sean Combs chasing Cassidy. Well, Cassidy's running out of the hotel room and she's by the elevator and she's trying to escape. And then you just see Diddy coming down the hall in a robe. Well, not a robe. He had a bath towel on and he commences to abuse her, kick her, slap her. And then there's a second part of the tape where I guess he's like in the hotel, like a hallway or something like that, where he throws a vase at her. And it's just ridiculous.
Oh, I didn't really watch the whole thing.
At the end of it, he's like, I don't know if it's still the same. Like they're still sitting by the elevator and like she's on the ground, or he throws like the vase at her or something to that effect. He's on tape beating this girl up.
You know how I know you old?
Why?
Because you said that a tape came out.
Yeah, I let that ride so many times.
A tape, video, whatever the fuck it is.
Like, this was recorded on VHS,
right.
or Betamax.
It was on fucking, it was on a disc, it was on a DVD disc, the big ones, back in the 80s, motherfucker. But
so it is available on VHS.
A surveillance video came out, okay?
There you go.
But, so then, you know, after this hits, he comes back with, you know, what's funny is that he never even apologizes to her.
Did you see
he says that everything, but I'm sorry for doing that.
There's apparently a clause in whatever agreement that they have that prevents either one of them from talking about the other party specifically in public.
So he couldn't say, I want to apologize for my behavior towards that woman.
Apparently not.
Wow. Anyway, he was apparently what was the words that did he use? I was really fucked up is what he used.
A dark place.
I was in a dark place. I was really fucked up. I'm not buying it. What do you guys think? Do you think this is the beginning of the end, or is he somehow going to worm his way out of this?
Wow, that's a loaded question. First, I want to just say for the remainder of this conversation and any other conversation that I have about this gentleman, I am only referring to him as Sean Combs. There is no more Diddy. There is no more P. Diddy. There is no more Puffy. There is no more Brother Love. It's only Sean Combs, because I think he has been able to hide behind these monikers and be a very destructive person. And from now on, I only want to recognize him as his government name, because that is the bare bones of who he is. He is an abuser. He is a physically, I'll say, I don't really know him that well, but I'm going to just say, based on what I've seen, he is a demented person. Because the parts that I did see of the video, for you to lift your foot and kick someone in their face or towards their face is, I don't even know what a word for it. It's just disgusting that you would think that you possess some sort of stature on this planet to be able to treat another person like that. And I was about to say, knowing that you have a mother, but there's a new story surfacing out that he's apparently slapped his mother. But knowing you have daughters, why would you put that sort of energy out there is beyond me.
You know, before we recorded tonight, I was watching Netflix has this thing where they talk about the OJ trial. And of course, it came back after OJ's passing. And I watched the first two episodes. And there's similarities in the narcissistic behavior between him and OJ, in that they both have this, like, they enjoy the spotlight. They love who they are. They love the popularity. And then there's this other side of them that nobody really saw outside of the police department, because, you know, when you watch it, he was fucking up Nicole for a minute. And they never get into what might have happened between him and his first wife, that black woman he was married to. I'm sure she saw some. She may or may not have, but he was fucking this woman up, you know, and there's a lot of proof of that, the injuries and everything else. And it's this attitude that they have, these people who reach superstardom or have a lot of money, where there's this level of perversion that kicks in, where they feel that they can treat anybody and anyone like nothing. And I'm OJ. I'm Sean Combs. I could do whatever the fuck I want to do and no one's going to stop me.
They're surrounded by people who enable that behavior. OJ couldn't get away with beating Nicole for so long if there weren't people around there who were willing to cover his tracks, who were willing to bury news stories, to pay off cops. All of that shit happened. Diddy did the same thing. This is not a new tape. They're saying it could be almost 10 years old.
Yeah.
So how did it get buried for 10 years? That means the hotel saw it. They either didn't call the cops or they did call the cops and that whole thing got buried. But this happens in Hollywood all the time. You know, there's that show on Showtime, Ray Donovan, where this guy is a Hollywood fixer. Mm-hmm. There are people that really do that. Mm-hmm. Michael Cohen, who just testified against Trump today, that was his fixer.
Yeah.
He was going around fixing
like Scandal. It's like Scandal.
Wait, side note. Did you hear Hope Hicks' testimony where she said, yeah, Michael likes to fashion himself as a fixer, but he's typically the one who breaks it?
That's funny.
Wow. Oh, the shade.
You know, it's to see it so blatant, him beating her up like that. It was shocking to me. Because you always think that, okay, there must be some exaggeration in the story. It couldn't possibly have gone that bad, because we would have known, like, they would have come out and like it would have been obvious. Somebody would have called the police or the authorities would have gotten involved. But I'm like, God damn. Like, this wasn't even like in his home where no one else could see it. This was in the hallway of a hotel. He probably had the whole floor, but still it was in the hallway of a hotel. So somebody saw that. And somebody had a copy of it. Somebody was able to release it now, but didn't release it then. But he's a damaged person. He's fucked up. He needs to.
He's a piece of shit for beating that woman.
I'm not.
Well, you can't get around that. He is a piece of shit for beating her that way. Yeah. Is he a human being that has some redeemability? If I'm making that word up, redeemable potential. Yes. I think everyone has a redemption story in them.
Yes.
But he has to do some serious fucking work. Like, this is like...
Absolutely.
Man, and if we just don't even deal with that video alone and talk about how he's dealt with artists, how he's dealt with the USC trainer, Kid Cudi, all these stories that kind of came
out of control.
Yeah, where he was menacing people. Like,
well, now it's obvious that some of these stories weren't as hyperbolic as we thought.
Right.
You know,
now the speculation comes out. Did he have a hand in Tupac? Did he have a hand in Big? Like, people are really asking questions now. Like, you know, especially with Kim, here was a woman who had perfect health a month before she mysteriously dies. And at that time she was threatening to come out with a book about him and everything else that's gone on. Come on. And there's a lot of, you know, situations that are, you know, either directly attached to him or people who are around him who mysteriously, you know, come up missing. Or, I mean, there's a lot of degrees of separation that people are putting things together. And I'm saying that he killed Biggie. We don't know that, but this doesn't help your case when you say that the charges are bullshit and then they release a tape and you're on there abusing this woman in that fashion. I don't know. I think he needs to go away somewhere. He's got enough money where he can go away and live somewhere comfortably and work on himself. Right. But I don't know if he can do that. I think because he likes being P. Diddy. He doesn't want to be Sean Combs. He doesn't want to be ambiguous. He wants to be the man.
He's got to let all that stuff go and just be Sean Combs.
Well, yeah, it's not even possible. You can't occupy that space anymore.
Yeah. Then it's not possible to occupy all the aliases.
Who he was previous to right. this coming out, it's impossible. You can't occupy that space anymore. You're just right, not going to be, the media is not going to touch you like that. You're not going to be the face of any brand.
Nobody's coming to your white parties. Nobody's coming to your freak offs. Nobody's coming. Nobody wants to touch him now.
They'll come to the freak offs.
Oh yeah, that, like, he can still do that, but he has to let all that go, because all that is going to do is just fuel that same monster. Yeah.
And look, I don't know what type of person I would have become if at 19 years old you gave me the access, power, and money. I definitely wouldn't be that, because there's nothing in my DNA that would allow me to treat another person in that way physically. But would I be a dickhead? Would I become money hungry or deceiving? Or I don't know. Because at 19 years old, you're whoever you are isn't fully developed yet. You haven't experienced everything yet. But that's why I'm not so quick to just throw people away, because
What I don't like at this point is the video gets released and then people are playing this. Oh, what did she do? And what did she do to make him so mad? You see these
who
little
said that
people are. Yeah, I've heard. So people are on the tape. Well, the tape gets released and then you look at the comments. Well, what does she do? And again, it goes back to this men versus women shit. And she should have ran away if he'd been abusing her for that long. Like, they start to like make these excuses to kind of excuse his behavior to validate it.
Slim Thugger released a video like that, which was supposed to be an apology to Cassie, but basically was saying like, but why didn't you go to the police, or why didn't you try to get out of that situation? Okay. Tell me you're not a rapist or an abuser without actually saying you're a rapist or an abuser. Yeah. Like, come on.
Yeah.
It's like, have we not heard countless stories of people feeling locked into a situation?
Yeah.
And he had the means and obviously the opportunity and protection in order to avoid any sort of criminal prosecution or any type of retribution, and could have still and did terrorize this woman.
Yes.
I feel bad, because when that lawsuit first came out, I was not really on Cassie's side at all. I thought,
really?
Because I thought, look, you were there for the party. You hung out. You got all of the benefits of being connected to this person.
But look how young she was.
I'm just saying, this is how I thought when that first came out. But seeing that video made it absolutely clear that, you know, there was more to that story than you know.
And $30 million wasn't enough.
Being a willing participant.
Well, we don't know how much it was.
Didn't they have allegedly how much it was? No one said.
Right.
Whatever the money was, it wasn't enough. Because, you know, again, this is just one isolated incident that they actually released. Then there's another tape where there's somebody under the blanket. We don't know if it's her for sure, but
it's supposed to be her. Yeah.
Yeah. So and is there a correlation between the same?
She's trying to get away from him and protect herself.
And she's in a blanket. She's under a blanket, and you know he's being abusive. But any parting thoughts on this? What do you think's next for Diddy? What do you think is? Do you think we're gonna have more videos, or are we gonna have anyone come to fight?
Until he goes to sit down somewhere, more stuff's gonna come out. Because somebody wants him to sit down.
I think what would be good to come out of all of this is I think in California the statute of limitations on this kind of assault is 3 years. Mm-hmm. That has to be extended. Mm-hmm. There's no way 3 years is enough, and people should be able to prosecute, and the violators should have to answer to their crimes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No doubt.
It can't be just wait out 3 years. Mm-hmm. But knowing him, he's probably violated somebody else within the last 3 years. So
in the last 3 months.
I mean, if that video is any indication, but
yeah, you know,
I had mentioned Chris Latimer, open letter to Sean Combs. I think if he were to listen to any of that would be to get help, get counseling, go through all of the steps and that are necessary to actually understand the gravity of what you've done to so many people, and then turn that around and start to invest in women, in communities that are marginalized and underserved, and actually do something that's worthwhile. If anything, this life that you were living can be somewhat transformative and pour back into so many people that deserve a fighting chance.
Yeah. I hope he gets the help that he needs. He may need to go to jail. He may need to sit down for a minute. Even R. Kelly, he's a damaged human. He's a fucked up human who went and fucked up other people. But he's somebody who he needed help. Yeah. He needs help. Like mentally, he needs help. He needs to be, Sean Combs needs to be straightened out similarly. I don't know if he needs to go to jail, or if he just needs to go somewhere, sit down, meditate, have Russell Simmons help you get to the next level.
Russell ain't anyway.
Don't send him to Russell.
He'll just be doing yoga and still be doing.
Because yeah, Russell still doesn't have any real contrition.
Yeah.
Right. He's still
out to
get me.
He's on the run.
He's still in denial. Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, we will see how this goes. And, you know, by the next show, there might be another tape and we'll talk about it then. But anyway, in other news.
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
What's good, people? This is your boy, L.O., the man with more AKAs than the Black Campus. If you like this show, then make sure you subscribe to Decoding 40 on IG, Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok.
Decoding 40.
Earlier this week, we had the prime minister and the president of Iran go down in the helicopter recently. Again, it's still kind of sketchy. Things are coming out about it. I think today they released that they were both, you know, fatally injured in this crash. And immediately my antennas went up. I don't know if they did for you guys. And I'm like, this sounds a little fishy. So what say you guys? Do you think this was an accident, or was it an accident with air quotes around it? Because I'm thinking it was the latter. What do you guys think?
There's no way this was an accident. There's absolutely no way. I mean, what is the likelihood that the president of Iran's plane is going to just crash because of a weather condition?
It's a helicopter. And why was the prime minister and the president in the same fucking helicopter?
Well, like, I don't know if they have the same protocols that we do.
Yeah, but that kind of doesn't make sense to me. Those are two big dogs in one spot. You'll never see the vice president and the president traveling together.
Right, but I think that's legislated. Like, they can't be traveling by plane in the same.
Yeah, of course, because of the, yeah. But I'm saying that, I mean, I just think it's kind of fishy. I think that it's because it was so close to what happened between Israel and Iran recently with the trading shots, basically. And that region is being as hot as it is. And the other thought that is kind of far-fetched to me is thinking that, was it somebody inside their own government who wants
absolutely
to
take it out? Absolutely. And they got something from the West for helping to make this thing happen. And Iran's now going to get out of the Hamas business. They're not going to be supporting in the same way, because all you need to do is not, you don't have to pull back everything. You don't give them the information you were giving them before, or you don't give them as much money as you were giving them before. And then all of a sudden they start losing ground, and that's all they really need.
That, again, could be very well true. That happens all the time. And the U.S. and the CIA and the NSA, they're good for that. But what I do understand is that the person that's in line to take the president's job is a conservative hardline. So I don't know if he comes into office and maybe he changes his tune based on whatever the West promised him. I don't know that. But if he's,
well, there's an election coming up.
Yeah, they have to decide within 6 weeks, I think. The first thing happens is whoever's the second in command takes immediate power, and then there's an election to determine whether or not this particular individual will stay in power within 6 weeks.
I think just like in America, just because you're the figurehead does not necessarily mean that you are the seat of power.
Yeah, this is true, but I don't know. I mean, sometimes, again, America has done stuff like this before, and then the person comes in power and the person promises them stuff and doesn't deliver on their promise, and then America comes and kills you, kind of like what they did in Panama with Noriega. Whoever the person is who's going to come into power, if they made a deal, they better stick to it, or they're going to get unalived.
This is how these things work, right? I think what we'll be telling is over the next couple of months, who eventually does take the seat of power, what decisions do they make? I think the problem for us as Americans, we don't get a lot of Iranian news. So most of the changes and the current events will go under the radar, but we may see the sort of the collateral damage of it through Israel action or actually even what's happening in the U.S. But I don't know. It does make me think, once again, I have to get more astute in international politics. But I mean, there's just a lot going on this planet, and you still have to figure out how to pay the rent and get your kids to school on time. So it's a lot.
There's just so many red herrings in this particular situation. The first organization I thought about was the Mossad. I mean, that's what they do. They get rid of motherfuckers, and they're very good at that. They're very good, just like they're the equivalent of the CIA. They are very good of unaliving motherfuckers with making it look like it was a car crash or a plane crash or a helicopter crash. And I find it very highly unlikely that this particular aircraft that is supposed to fly the president around is not at least on a level of, I'm not saying it's like fucking Air Force One, but it's got to be up there as far as technology. They're not going around in a fucking helicopter helicopter from the east side of Manhattan. This is some serious shit here.
I'd imagine an oil-rich country is going to have the good stuff.
Yeah, they got some good shit. They got some good helicopters.
Is there any part of you that will just accept that this is a freak accident that occurred and it's just one of those things that just happened?
No.
You'd have to prove it to me. And show me the weather pattern and any video and recordings, and like, I want to hear the pilots.
Yeah. I need the black box information. I need all of that. And even then I'm leery, because that could be manufactured.
I was going to say, what if they even show you that. That still would leave skepticism.
It would.
And it's crazy because Iraq actually, they were wherever they were flying, the Iraqis were able to give them, I think they had pinpointed the location. And because Iran and Iraq are not, they haven't been friends. They're not friends, but they were able to give them certain information. And the Iranians didn't want to take it. Like, I was watching this report on it. I don't know if this shit was shot, because they're saying that it crashed. But why did it crash? Was it shot down? Did something blow up? Like,
right, you but you've already said that you won't believe anything or any reason that they give. So,
yeah, I think they killed that man. And I don't know which government is involved in it. But knowing the way America rocks, knowing the way Israel
I think
gets
they saw an opportunity and they took it.
Yeah.
Oh, they made an opportunity and they took it.
Let's see how the
Iranian government moves now. If they move different,
you know what's up.
And you know.
But
if they go harder.
Yeah. I find it funny that the older we get, the more cynical I become. And when I see stuff like this and you kind of see what's going on, like everybody's thinking, oh, well, it was just a plane crash. Some people anyway. But it's like I'm just the more you know about how the world operates, this country operates, and just governments around the world, and how like conniving they could be. Like the Russians, when they this dude literally killed his competitor. He trying to poison him, then he locked him up, and then he unalived this nigga. Like and no one's talking about it. Like, oh, it just happened. Like everybody knows
talking about it. But then again, this is what I'm talking about. What happens in international countries doesn't get back to us because we get so fixated on Donald Trump and his trials, MAGA, and all the other nonsense. And I'm not going to say nonsense because a lot of it is serious, but we don't get an opportunity to connect the dots of what's happening internationally based on the interests of our own country and government.
But we know Putin murdered quite a few people, but what are we going to do about it?
Yeah.
Nothing. That's the thing.
You, what is that part to?
Who's gonna check me, boo? That's Putin.
that is the American government's motto.
Yeah, who's gonna check me, boo? And Putin just got reelected for his fifth term. So there you go. He ain't going nowhere. I'm not going anywhere. You got me for another term, baby. Yeah.
I thought they said he had cancer.
Yeah, that's what they said.
I think that was a rumor.
They probably recloned that nigga. You don't know what the Russians are dealing with. All right. Well, we will see in the coming weeks, coming months, and how the Iranians react and how the rest of the world reacts. If they come out soft on things, and we know that quite possibly was something we did. If they come out harder than ever, it might be something within their own government. Only time will tell.
This week in hip hop,
we're going to celebrate one of the, at the time, probably one of the most controversial members of the group NWA. Went solo back in May 18th in 1990. He released America's Most Wanted. Now, I remember that a tape coming out. I'm going to say tape because I bought the tape, because this is before CDs. So I remember buying the tape, and I was a fan of NWA. Like, everybody took NWA very seriously. I thought it was funny to me. I thought their whole, what they were talking about was funny to me. I didn't take them that seriously. And at that time, I was unaware that Ice Cube was the one who was basically the one who was writing the rhyme. So some internal things happened within the group. And then Ice Cube went solo. He came out to the East Coast, and with the help of Public Enemy and the Bomb Squad, along with Sir Jinx, created the masterpiece that is America's Most Wanted. Great, great, great tape. It solidified Ice Cube's, at that time, he became one of the premier MCs out of the West Coast. And that's undeniable. What do you guys remember about that release? And, you know, where was your headspace when it came out?
Yo, I have to say that I have not listened to that album probably in 30 years. And a few thoughts come to mind. One, 90s hip hop, and specifically the West Coast, premier interludes, intros and
skits.
No one has come close to that decade of creativity. The second thing is, I immediately remember being drunk in the back of so many cars driven by either Southern or West or California people and having Ice Cube blaring in your ear while you were trying to hold yourself together. The third thing is 51-year-old me does not enjoy America's Most Wanted as much as 20-something-year-old me.
Of course.
The language and the things that he was saying, I was like, yo, what were we listening to?
Yep.
I mean, I had to stop it a couple of times, like, oh my God, what were we doing? It is so violent against women, it's not even funny.
I had the exact same thoughts. Well, I bought it when it came out. Mm-hmm. I bought the CD. I was a fan of Ice Cube at the time. But like you, I have not listened to that album since it came out. And there's no way I would let my children listen to this music. Absolutely no way I would let my
kids listen. What about at 18? 21?
I think by then there might be some context, or they might be mature enough to hear this and it not be influencing. I don't know. Like, yeah, a lot of this shit was fucking offensive. But the thing I loved about Ice Cube was that he's a revolutionary and he was gangster. Right?
Yes.
That's the one thing that still stands out in his music. But yeah, I kind of hear where C. Dolores Tucker was coming from now. Maybe because I'm old. But yeah, this shit was fucking raw. But imagine, yes, like when you hear teenagers walking down the street screaming curse words, you're like, oh my God, what are you, why are you talking like that? Like, you sound crazy. And this is what they were hearing.
Well, I think
that's what I was going to say. It tapped into the energy that we had in our 20s, right? Like,
well, you think about, but think about the transition of hip hop at that time. Like the 90s was Heavy, Public Enemy, KRS-One. So I think Ice Cube in his first release, there's definitely a maturation between the first leaf and then the second album, which I think is better than the first. The second album he released after that in 1991, 92, I believe.
So what year did America's Most Wanted drop?
1990. And then the second one, I don't know if the second one was Lethal Injection or, at any rate, I think that album was better. And I think at the time when he did America's Most Wanted, he didn't want to get too far away from what we were used to hearing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because at first, so America's Most Wanted was 1990 and Death Certificate. That was the second album. That album was, that's when he kind of started to adopt a very militant, I would say, anti-white, anti-establishment / Farrakhan type of vernacular in a lot of his rhymes and what he was talking about. And he was for the Black community, period. He wasn't fucking with anybody but the Black community, right? I think that Ice Cube was always there, but when he did his first album, he couldn't just jump the shark. He had to kind of keep his fans. So a lot of the music that he did was, and from my understanding, when I read through the Wikipedia on it, the songs that were on that first album were supposed to go on NWA's second album. Like, he had already wrote those rhymes. He literally took the rhymes he wrote that was going to go on Niggas for Life, and he put that on America's Most Wanted. And Dre wanted to work with him, but Jerry Heller and what's his name said, nah, we're not going to do that. So I think what it was is that he
said, what's those, his name?
Eazy-E, excuse me. my bad. So Eazy-E and Jerry Heller, they was like, nah, we're not going to do that. But that shows you that those rhymes that he had wrote on America's Most Wanted were already scheduled for something else. Mm-hmm. He just took it and was like, I got these, I'm going to use it. Then the second album, Death Certificate, was, I think, when Ice Cube came into his own. That America's Most Wanted was still dope, because I like the first track on the America, the one that's titled America's Most Wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I enjoy
this. This is not going to go back into rotation for me.
Yeah. That's funny, because I was like, oh, I hadn't listened to this in a while. Maybe it will go back in rotation. Then I started listening to it. I was like, oh, yeah, probably not.
But to be honest, even sonically, most of the songs, they're not great songs. The rhymes are good. He's actually a really good writer, storyteller. But sonically, it's not really that great.
There's some tracks on it I still like. Like Who's the Mac? That's dope. The first one, America's Most Wanted. Dun, dun, America's mm-hmm. Most Wanted. He samples that. There's like about four or five tracks. Like, I don't know how many songs are on the album. And I
feels like there's like 20 songs on that album.
No, not that. That's Lethal Injection. Death Certificate has a lot of songs. America's Most Wanted has maybe 10, 12 songs on it. But the thing about that album is that I always get some of the songs on that album mixed with Death Certificate. Like they kind of mix together for me. And then in between that, he dropped the EP, Kill at Will, which had Jackin' for Beats on it, which is dope.
Mm.
So, nope. Yeah, I would listen to it again. I haven't in a while. I think the last time I listened to it was a couple years ago, because every once in a while, I just want to go back into that time and listen to certain musics. But overall, it went platinum. It was a dope album. It introduced Ice Cube as a solo MC, because when that whole thing went down with NWA, we were like, I don't know if Ice Cube's going to be able to make it on his own, because we didn't know that he was the one behind, the writer behind a lot of those rhymes from the first NWA album.
Yeah. But I honestly wasn't that invested in NWA. I liked Straight Outta Compton. Loved that song.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was dope. But I wasn't that invested in NWA.
The Police?
Yeah, Fuck the Police.
Yeah, that was a dope song. Yeah.
Yeah,
but like Easy Does It was easy. Like, I hated that song. I hated it.
Yeah, I mean, there was songs that I didn't like, but I did like. But the thing is, I found that shit funny, because I remember hanging out, shout out to G Bourne, and we would go out to Amityville and and he had the NWA tape. And to me, the shit was comedy. I didn't take it seriously. Like I thought the rhymes to me were funny stories. It wasn't like this shit is, oh man, I'm gonna start doing the Crip Walk. I didn't think like that. It was just, to me, it was funny rhymes, and I didn't take these dudes seriously. Like, I guess a lot of people took them seriously.
Hell yeah. Know?
But I mean, I wasn't gonna go get a low rider and start shooting up the club. I just thought the shit was funny to me. You know, some of the rhymes are funny to me. But yes, so you know, this week in hip hop, we celebrate America's Most Wanted, released in 1990, May 18th to be exact. So
what other albums came out today?
Another album that came out was Special Ed's Youngest in Charge.
Oh,
Special Ed's first album came out that week.
There you go.
Which is, you know, Special Ed's one of those MCs that got a lot of love on the East Coast, especially Brooklyn, Queens area. But the ladies love Special Ed. I know I had my Special Ed phase, nigga. You couldn't tell me nothing. Remember when?
I mean, that's two songs. I got it made. Yeah, like two songs.
Yeah,
there was another one after that.
That album actually was a dope album.
I didn't hear the whole album. I don't think I had
the whole album. The whole album was dope.
Hold on, just looked it up. So that month of May, I don't see Special Ed on this list, but Kwame's album came out, A Day in the Life, Okadelic Adventure, Ice Cube, obviously America's Most Wanted, K Solo, Tell the World My Name,
Never
Four Righteous Teachers, Holy Intellect, and Antoinette, Burning at 20 Below. That was a good month.
Yeah, Antoinette was a dope album too. That actually was a good album.
Wow.
All those albums are dope. All those albums are dope. And especially that Poor Righteous Teacher album.
Yeah.
That was that Rock That Funky Joint. All that shit was on there too.
Recording 40.
We have reached that time on the show where it's coming close to the end, and we ask that question, what have we learned this week, fellas?
I learned that the shit we were listening to in the 80s and 90s, some of that shit was vile. And I don't want my daughter to ever hear. I don't want my daughter or my son to hear that. You know what? That's the fucked up part, right? Hip hop is so important to me, to my life, how I developed, but I can't give them what I had. But again, I didn't have it at 4 and 5 years old. I didn't have it at 5 and 7 years old.
Yeah. 16, 17, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
It's different.
I know what I learned. I know that Sean Combs has to get his life together and give so much more than he's taken in order to restore his humanity.
I learned that what the news tries to tell us and what we kind of know in our heart is real is two different things. You know, the news sells us, oh, it was just an accident. In my heart, they did that shit. He took that. Fuck what you heard. And again, I hope it doesn't you know, if anything comes out of this, I hope it doesn't make a situation that's already bad worse.
In 30 years, we'll declassify some documents and we'll find out, oh, yeah, they did that shit.
They did that shit, right? But, you know, that's the time. That's our show. Again, make sure that you give us a call at 619-940-4040. Leave us a message and tell us how we're doing. Text us at that same number. Also, reach out to us at decoding40@gmail.com. If you're a business out there and want to do business with us, holler at us at that address. Also, reach us on IG, TikTok, Facebook. And are we on Twitter or X?
Yeah, we're definitely on X.
No, we're still on Twitter.
Next on Twitter at decoding40 at that tag. And as always, we end the show with this one word. Peace.
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 Thank you for listening to Decoding 40.